Chapter 4. Sunday night, Darryl had trouble sleeping. Every few hours, he woke up and checked the clock to see how much time he had left to rest. He wanted the night to last forever. At least then he would not have to go to school. Yet every time he looked at the clock, it was closer and closer to the time he had to get up, the time he had to go to the same place as Tyree, alone. Darryl was awake when the day's first dim light started to creep into his small bedroom. The weather seemed to match his mood. A raw November rain left the sky dull gray and sunless. "What a day to begin at Blueford," he thought. For breakfast, he forced himself to eat a few spoonfuls of oatmeal and a gulp of milk. "Darryl," his mother scolded, "that's not enough to keep a bird alive. How you gonna grow taller and heavier if you eat like that?" "I can't eat no more, Mom. My stomach feels funny already," Darryl said. "Poor baby. You're really nervous about school, huh? I'm so sorry we had to make the move out here after school started. I know you wanted to stay at Franklin back home." She came over and kissed him on the top of his head. Though part of him hated that she felt the need to baby him, another part of him was glad she did it, as long as it was in private. It was comforting to know how much his mom loved him, and he clung to that when things got really bad, just as long as she never babied him in front of anybody. Even though the sky was dreary and rain seemed to be lurking in the swollen clouds, Darryl chose to walk to school. After the long bus trip from Philadelphia, he preferred to walk in the rain rather than sit on another bus, even if the ride lasted only a few minutes. At 7:30, he grabbed his backpack and headed out to the street. Just in case Tyree was waiting for him, Darryl walked off the main route, sticking instead to a back street that went in the same direction. As he neared the school, Darryl saw more and more kids. He glanced at the different groups of people all around him, hoping to see someone his own size, a freshman looking more like a middle schooler. Finally, as he reached the front of the school, he spotted a little guy with glasses. He was stockier than Darryl, but just as short. Darryl quickened his pace to catch up to him, figuring that at least they could share their misery over being so small. But as Darryl watched, two other boys walked up alongside of the smaller kid. "Hey, Jamel, how's it going?" one boy asked. The smaller boy turned and smiled. "What's up, Miguel?" The third spoke up then. "Jamel, did Mitchell cover anything important in Friday? I missed class."
"We did Act 3 of Romeo and Juliet. You can borrow my notes," Jamel replied.
"Man, what kind of story is that? Makes me glad I don't have a girlfriend," said Miguel.
The three continued talking and laughing. Darryl figured they had probably been friends all their lives, just like he had been with Malik, Reggie, and Mark.
"The short kid with the glasses is nothing like me," he thought.
Jamel was in. Darryl was on the outside looking in. Disappointed and alone, Darryl kept walking. Everyone was talking to somebody else. All the kids around him seemed to be with old friends. Everything Darryl had feared was coming true. He was probably the only new kid in the entire school. Darryl's first class was English. It took him a few minutes to figure out where the room was. As he walked in, he noticed a familiar face. Amber Lynn was in his class. Grateful to see someone he recognized, Darryl looked for a seat next to her, but they were all filled. A few other girls were talking to her when he came in, and she did not seem to notice him.
"Anyway, why would she want me to sit next to her when she can have all her friends nearby?" Darryl thought.
Besides, he had to be careful not to take someone else's seat. He did not want to make enemies on his first day. He decided to take the nearest empty seat, but then saw a kid in the back of the room motioning for him. The boy was pointing to a desk next to him. Darryl thought the guy was being friendly, but as he sat down at the desk, he recognized the boy's face. He was one of the kids with Tyree the other day. Darryl turned to get up when he saw something that made his jaw drop. Tyree walked into the classroom. Quickly scanning the class, Tyrae strolled over to the boy who sat next to Darryl and gave him a high five.
"What's up, Rodney?" Tyrae said.
Then, walking behind Darryl's desk, Tyrae kicked it, jarring Darryl and causing the whole desk to move a few inches.
"Whoops,"
Tyrae said as he sat down in the desk on the other side of Darryl. Darryl felt trapped. He could not imagine how he would survive a whole year with Tyrae and Rodney on either side of him. Just then, the teacher, Mr. Mitchell, came in. He stepped behind his desk at the front of the room and surveyed the class through dark, wire-rimmed glasses. Darryl was relieved he was there. It meant he was safe, at least for the moment.
"We have a transfer student all the way from Philadelphia joining the class today," Mr. Mitchell said. "His name is Darryl Mercer."
As the teacher spoke, everyone in the class turned to look at Darryl. He wanted to hide under his desk. He could feel their eyes scanning him. He knew they were thinking he looked too short to be in high school, that he looked skinny and weak. Worse, he thought, maybe some were feeling sorry for him because of how small and scared he looked. He wanted to get up and run out of the class. Instead, he just waited in agony for the stares to go away.
"Darryl," Mr. Mitchell continued, "are you sure you want to sit in the back of the class? I'm not always nice to people who sit in the back row."
He smiled as he spoke. Then he turned to erase some writing off the chalkboard.
"This is my chance," Darryl thought. "A chance to get away from Tyrae and Rodney."
I guess I could see better from the front," Darryl replied.
As he started to get up, Darryl felt a sharp pain in his shoulder. Tyrae's wide hand gripped his small shoulder like a giant claw and shoved him back into his seat.
"You ain't going nowhere, fool," Tyrae whispered.
The whole time, Tyrae looked straight ahead, making sure not to draw Mr. Mitchell's attention. Only nearby kids seemed to notice the drama unfolding in the back of the classroom. When Darryl looked at them for help, they just looked the other way.
"I can, see better from up there,"
Darryl pleaded quietly to Tyrae.
"How much you gonna be able to see when I punch your face so hard your eyes swell shut?"
Darryl always thought teachers were fools. They never seemed to know what was going on in their classrooms. Kids could be hiding drugs or threatening other kids, and the teachers would just ramble on about some poem written hundreds of years ago. Mr. Mitchell seemed worse because Tyrae had actually touched Darryl right in front of him, and he still did not notice.
"We still have this empty desk up front," Mr. Mitchell said, "and it looks like Darryl doesn't want it. But, you know, it hurts my feelings to see such a good spot in the front of the room go to waste. So, I'm going to give it to a very lucky person today. Tyrae, you are the winner. Why don't you move up here?"
"Why me?" Tyrae growled. "I didn't do nothing."
"The back of the room seems a bit too distracting for you. Besides, people who sit in the front of the room tend to have much better grade point averages than those who sit in the back. So come on up here," he said.
A few kids in the classroom laughed. Darryl held his breath. He wanted Tyrae to move as far away from him as possible.
"I ain't moving from here," Tyrae said in a sullen voice.
"You're on the freshman football team, aren't you, Tyrae?"
Mr. Mitchell asked.
"Yeah,"
Tyrae mumbled, crossing his arms on his chest.
"So?"
"Well, Coach Meade and I are good friends, and I would hate to have to tell him that you refuse to listen to a teacher. He might think you would refuse to listen on the football field. He might even kick you off the team. Now, if you want to avoid all that, why don't you just sit up front?"
Tyrae slowly got to his feet. On his way towards the front of the classroom, he deliberately stepped on Darryl's foot. Pain shot like electricity through Darryl's body.
"Whoops, sorry,"
Tyrae said, acting as innocent as possible. Despite the pain, Darryl felt great relief. At least he did not have to sit next to Tyrae. He also had respect for his new English teacher. Darryl was not exactly sure if Mr. Mitchell knew what Tyrae was doing to him in the back of the room, but it did not matter. Without embarrassing Darryl, Mr. Mitchell had managed to stop what was happening, and for that, Darryl was grateful. As lunchtime grew near, Darryl started to feel a new kind of anxiety. He worried that he would eat lunch alone. When the bell rang, he walked reluctantly towards the cafeteria, dreading the meal to come. Inside, he took his place at the end of the line, got his plastic tray, and slowly moved towards where the kitchen staff dished out the food. The menu for the day was spaghetti and meatballs, along with a piece of garlic bread and a scoop of green beans. Dessert was a soupy green gelatin with strange-looking pieces of fruit suspended inside it.
Just like the school cafeteria back home, Darryl thought.
When his tray was full, Darryl stepped into the rapidly filling lunch area.
Is there anyone I can sit with?
He wondered. Before him, hundreds of people talked, laughed, and ate with their friends. No one seemed as lost as he was. He spotted two freshman guys sitting nearby at a table with two empty chairs. Darryl had seen them in his morning classes. He wondered if he should try to go over and join them. They seemed friendly enough. Darryl carried his full tray towards them. In his mind, he rehearsed what would happen next.
"Anybody sitting here?" he would ask. "No, sit down, man," they'd say.
Then Darryl would have his foot in the door. They'd talk about classes, their teachers. Then they'd make fun of the cafeteria food and talk about the best-looking girls in the school. The ice would be broken. Even though he was nervous, he decided to try what he had rehearsed. He went over to the table with the two freshmen, his knees shaking the whole way.
Anybody sitting here? Darryl asked.
They didn't respond the way they did in his mind. They didn't even look up. Were they ignoring him? He felt ridiculous standing there with a full tray talking to people who were paying no attention to him. They continued their conversation as if he didn't exist.
Maybe they didn't hear me, he thought.
He tried again in a louder voice.
Anybody sitting here?
This time, one of the boys looked up.
Yeah, we're saving the places for friends.
Sorry,
Darryl said, embarrassed. Quickly, he moved away from the table.
You stupid fool,
Darryl thought. He imagined them laughing about him, chuckling at the scrawny kid who tried to sit at their table. Again, Darryl looked out over the cafeteria. It was filled with hundreds of kids his age, but for him, it was empty. Standing amidst the huge crowd, Darryl felt more alone than he ever had in his whole life. Darryl remembered being with his old friends in middle school. They were a single unit. Four boys, four separate people, but they were really one. What if a new kid came along and tried to join their special group? Would they have welcomed him? Probably not. Malik might have looked at the stranger and said the same thing.
We're saving that place for a friend.
It would not have been that they were bad guys. It was just how things were.
Get used to it, Darryl thought.
Finally, he spotted an empty table over in the corner. He quickly moved to it the way people in a rainstorm run for cover. Alone, he shoved a tangled mass of soggy spaghetti noodles into his mouth. The food was bad, too, he thought. The spaghetti sauce tasted like red paste, and the gelatin dessert had an odd chemical flavor. He hoped that some other lonely student would join him, but nobody came. Darryl wondered what his friends back home were doing right now. At Franklin, they'd eat lunch at a table near a window. It was a great place to eat, and whoever got to the cafeteria first raced to claim it. From their table, they could see people passing by on the street below. Darryl and Malik liked to point out attractive girls as they walked by the school. He wondered if they even noticed he was gone. Suddenly, Darryl was aware of two guys standing at his table. For a minute, he thought they'd come to join him. He looked up at them and smiled, trying to be as friendly as possible.
You done?
One of the guys asked. The question hit Darryl like a slap in the face. Instantly, he realized his mistake. The boys knew he was done eating, and they wanted his table. Not him. His table.
Oh, yeah,
Darryl said, picking up his tray and walking over to the trash barrel. He dumped his plastic dishes and stacked the tray. Before he walked out of the cafeteria, he paused for a second and looked back at the crowd behind him. It was amazing, he thought. He had spent the entire morning in classes with so many kids, but not one joined him for lunch. Would he spend the whole year at Blueford alone?